All and welcome back to another episode of the Romantically Lit podcast featuring two undercover hopeless romantics who kiki as they review different black romance novels from across the diaspora. It's your co-host Hana.
And I'm Odelia.
And on this episode, we are going to be reviewing a book that we have been reading for the last couple of weeks. It is called Let the Games Begin by Rufaro Faith Mazarura. Mm-hmm. Yes. Odile and I have totally different where's my book? We have totally different.
So apparently I have the US version.
Yeah. I now look for versions outside of North America.
How did you do that?
I just go through Amazon and just try and find like all the English ones that are available that they can deliver. So I always look because they have
Is the price different?
Nope. I think it was probably the same amount as a paperback in the because I'm just tired of seeing colors misspelled. You know what I mean? Like, they're just certain things that this is not the English I was taught.
Okay, well, this one has the words let, the, and games, and begin. And last I checked, everybody spells those the same.
So. Yeah, but sometimes when you're looking at different words, you're like, ugh, Z, S, ugh. You know what I mean? U, missing U in color.
I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. It's just irrelevant. For me personally,
I like it that way. And also they have much better covers outside. That's also what I'm seeing. They do.
I'm not discrediting anything you're saying.
Okay. I'm in the lore of TikTok right now and Book Talk, where the girls are buying books from the same books from different parts of the world. It's good to be there. Anywho, in today's episode,
what I hate about you, you never share this stuff. You keep it to yourself. You're such a singleton.
You said you don't care.
I never actually said that.
You said
I said I have the US version. That's what I said actually.
I know
because that's what I clicked. And then I asked you how you got it. So, but anyways, if you are joining podcasts,
you said it doesn't matter to you. Well, for me, I like the colors.
No, I'm gonna keep this one on. I'm gonna keep a domestic layer because I see you're betraying me.
There's no betrayal here. I don't think this is a nun issue.
I'm issued.
Okay. Honestly, there's nothing I can do about that. Sorry.
And that's a problem. You're not solution oriented. I'm telling you, I have a problem, and you're not trying to find the solution.
Go find the ones the cover like
you're
this.
You're not understanding me.
The thing is, like, you don't want us to be individuals. That's the thing. You want me to do.
And the thing is, you hate being in community with me.
I'm tired of being individual. I'm an individual, okay?
Oh my gosh.
It don't all have to be. It's not every day matchy-matchy.
Just say you hate me, man. It would hurt less. Really and truly. Okay. Go on. Say it.
Girl, you already said it for yourself.
Wow, so you're not even denying that you hate me and you want me dead. Understand. Anyways, continue the podcast.
Nine to fives, yeah? We work 9 to 5s. This is what you call the energy. Yeah. Continue, man. You even finish it. I have nothing else to say.
If this is your first time joining us, then hello. If not, welcome back. And if it is your first time joining us, we have read a plethora of books and we know we've read something just for you. So what else you say, Han? What else you say?
It's okay. Let's cue in the music.
Welcome back. As my individualistic co-host stated, we are reading a new book. We have left America and we've gone back to England. However, we put a new book in.
We're in Athens.
Let Me Land. How about that one? Let Me Land, and then you can like have your opinion about where we are in the world. How about that?
Okay, you know? Girl.
So the people in the book, the people them are British, okay? Yeah, they're in Athens, but they are British. Anyways, but we're putting a new map on the ethnicity map. Okay, this is not a British Nigerian British. We are Zimbabwean British, okay? And what I love about this book is, as Hannah stated, we are in Athens, okay? But we're not reading about Giannis Antetokounmpo. We are reading about British people in Athens for the Olympics. I thought this was such an interesting, like, concept for a book. I would never thought to write that. But again, that's why I'd be reading, because I'm not that kind of writer. So we meet our two characters. First, we meet, Ezekiel, or Zeke Moyo. Okay, so he is on Team GB, which is Team Great Britain, for the Olympics. He is a sprinter. Huge event. You know what it is. Then we have our girl. Her name is Olivia Nkomo. They are both Zimbabwean British, raised in Zimbabwe. Raised in England by Zimbabwean parents. Our author is also Zimbabwean. She's also... Oh, I'm seeing here she says British Zimbabwean writer. Interesting. Okay. Just because I thought... Anyways. But we meet them and they're in two different fields. Obviously, as I've mentioned, Ezekiel is a runner. So he spent a lot of time running. He's preparing for the Olympics, or he has been. And the Olympics are coming up. They're like a weekish away, a couple days. We meet him and he's about to go join the team. At the same time, our girl Olivia, can I just say everything, every internal feeling that Olivia felt was so triggering to me throughout this book. But she is a go-getter. She is ambitious. She wants money and power, and she is not ashamed to say it, okay? And she has done everything she can to achieve that despite the social obstacles in her way. She has done internship after internship at law firms, banks, everything so that she could get to this moment where she believes she has gone an internship to work for the IOC. Is it IOC? Yeah. The Olympic Committee, the international, the IOC during the Olympics in Athens, the 2024 Olympics. This is funny because obviously this is where fiction doesn't match reality, because the real Olympics were in Paris. But Greece is the home of the Olympics and Olympians. So it made sense. So she thinks she's gone this like nice internship there. Her parents, who, like, I think, you know, very much the immigrant story, they came here with their degrees, lawyers at that, and they couldn't practice in England because their Zimbabwean degrees did not translate, whatever that means. Till today, I don't fully understand what that means, and why it only applies to certain places, but anyways. And they made a life for themselves based on what they could. And she acknowledges that, I think, like a lot of immigrant stories, you become the manifestation of the dreams your parents could not complete. And unlike me, who that weighs me down in my sleep, Olivia, it weighs her down, but she embraces it fully. She wants to become those things. Outside of having her own ambitions for herself, she wants those things for herself. So when her parents buy her a suit that they can't really afford, and she boards the plane to Greece, she does it knowing that this internship that she thinks she has will be an opener for a life that, you know, is what her parents would be proud of. Unfortunately, she gets there, finds out that they gave her internship away to Lars, whatever his name is. Some rich kid. Also, I find it very interesting because England, like, classism is classism, but UK classism is very different, because not only is it money, but it's your name and the fact that, like, your parents, like, it's not just classism, it's like aristocracy. So a lot of those who go to private schools and things like that, it's like, yeah, they're rich, one, but a lot of them have old money or names that have important ties to a time when, like, people respected lords and ladies. So She's been fighting that in every field that she's been in. I think she's a little batshit crazy with it. I can't lie to you. Like, she puts herself in situations and buys and does things just so that she can. But, like, you know, on top of being a Black woman, she's, you know, she's faced a lot of things trying to get into the spaces that she wants to get into. So there's that. Hannah, you got anything to add? I feel like I'm
deep again. I feel like you covered everything.
Okay. And then also Zeke has lost his father in the last 10 years. And that is something he's refused to heal from because he is a man. And no, rather than to heal from. Well, he did. Sorry.
Well, yeah, it's something that weighs him down. Maybe it's because it's a combination of grief, combination of guilt, because he didn't feel like he spent enough time with his father or listened to his father that well. He mentioned a couple of times. He actually mentioned it a lot of times. He wished he'd spend more time listening to his dad, what he was saying, because his words resonate with him, but he wished he had more time, which is part of the element of grieving, wishing that you had more time with the person that you took, I guess, advantage for, which is part of it. So that makes sense. He didn't say that?
All I'm saying is that when in the next 70 years, when I'm gone, you're going to wish you matched more book covers with me. But
okay, girl. Actually, to be honest, I have a feeling I'm going to live a life with no regrets. What could I do? I'm already being battered down. What, generally speaking, what can you do? I'm going to be like Rihanna when y'all ask her in the red carpet, do you regret any of your fashion stuff? She's like, the only thing I regret is not wearing a bra in that one outfit. That's what I'm going to say. Something so like.
I actually don't think that's a minuscule thing that she said, because it's that thing where we acknowledge nudity and freedom of expression with youth. And as she ages, and also the ideas of motherhood,
I think she said this when she was a mother. I think she said it prior to it.
No, she said this as a mother. She said, now I'm like, oh my god, like, why did I wear that? My kids are gonna see that. This is a recent. Yeah. Listen, I'm a Rihanna-ologist.
She's mentioned this before she had kids. I remember her talking about, because they asked her, do you have any regrets? I know this recent interview you have that she talked about being a mother, but prior to that, she did mention one of her outfits, just like, yeah, that's my only regret. And I remember it went viral online. I was like, this is the type of regrets we should have. I said, you're right. Why not? Because I've asked her this question multiple times. I know the one you talk about her being a mother was at the Met or something else when she mentioned it. And then prior to that, some years back, a journalist asked her, and she just like, you know, that's my only regret in life. And she was still cool, you know what I mean, and not pregnant. Anyway, you know, I think it's part of grieving. So that's why when he hears certain songs, he remembers his dad in the car telling him things. And part of that grieving is him, you know, wishing that he had more time to spend his father, wishing his father was around to see him what he is, or being seeing him go for bronze and silver or whatever, now gold, at the Olympics.
Yeah, I think it's more so like his dad died a month before he had audition or trials to be on Team GB. So that's so unfortunate. I hate when people die young, one. Two, I hate people dying and leaving kids. Three, I hate when people die and they don't get to see the potential of what their children become. Like, it really irks my soul. But anyways, so yeah. But he deals with that. Well, not really, because again, like I say, he really pushes it down like a man that he is. Zeke has two older brothers. He has his mom, who's really religious, but they love him very dearly. And everybody, like most kids who are in athletics, your family surround you so you can succeed at this thing. It's going to be me and my son, because I already know I'm carrying a future Olympian in here. Let me tell you, I just need the right person to make this happen with. I didn't say what sport though. I'll take a future curler.
That's fine. That's fine. Dream big, think big.
Listen, but so they get to there, and as I said, Olivia finds out that her internship has been taken by someone else. She's there with her best friend, Aditi. Aditi is a coffee influencer.
Yeah, she's a coffee influencer, and they pay her to go to different cafes to take pictures and influence. Good for her, to be honest. Fantastic.
I feel like I'm using this platform for the wrong thing. When I heard that, I was like, I need to be like a soda influencer or something. Like,
I mean, they are. I'm telling you, they are. There are a lot of people, they're so, like, when you really think, we don't think big enough, but there are jobs for pretty much everything these days. Anything. So I'm not even surprised. A confidence answer. Listen, you can be anything you want.
Please. Where did I see the confidence influencer? It was the weirdest place. I was like, confidence influencer? What are you doing here? But anyways, she's not even confident anymore. Let me not say she's not confident. She's not plus size anymore. Not? So she, I don't think she.
She's not plus size? Oh, so she got, she.
She's definitely, like, if she is plus size, she's on the lower side of plus size, or she's mid size.
Oh my God, mid size. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Okay, so anyway, so they're there, and she's found out that she's not getting this paid internship. She spent a good amount of her guala to get there. All right, her credit card's yelling and screaming at her, and now the best that these people can do for her is for her to be a volunteer in the athletic village, in the Olympic Village, an exclusive place that, like, low-key, I've always wanted to see what goes on in there. I'm so interested to know, like, the research that goes down for a book like this. Like, do you talk to Olympians? Do you, like, talk to, like, how do you know what the
talk to the volunteers? You just talk to the people who volunteer to the Olympics. How'd you find them? I'm pretty sure you can, I don't know, do a little tweet out, a little Reddit, a little something, you can find them. Because there's a lady that they show in this book who I've actually heard of this type of story. People who have been volunteering for years, like, this is their livelihood. They don't get paid for it, but it's, like, part of their like hobby. Mm-hmm. I think they meet a lady there who's been she went to every single Olympics in the last 10-30 years, which is crazy to say that you've been volunteering for that many Olympic games. But some people make it their actual thing. And, you know, honestly, for the Olympics and the World Cup, I think it makes sense, because this is, like, the world arena, you know, unlike the others, which are more, like, local, a little bit more regional, but this is, like, big. Anywho, so this is actually our first sports romance book.
And yes, like, can I say, I'm so glad.
No, I'm saying I'm so glad that we have sports romance, because everyone's been talking about some icebreaker hockey. I know y'all like that. I know you're talking about the book all the time, but I'm glad we found a black romance. And I know there's so many others. We're planning to read others, but this is our first one. So, like Adelia said, she was denied. They mistakenly told her that you're coming here for something. Well, there were only two slots left.
None of this was a mistake. They took her spot and they gave it to a rich white man, and then didn't have the courtesy to tell the black girl she didn't have the spot anymore.
No,
they didn't care.
They forgot to tell her she didn't get the spot.
How convenient. But they didn't forget to tell to take the spot and give it to the white man.
Crazy. That's because the man who got it, his parents, they're the sponsors for Team GB, and that's
and
why.
And they have, like, they have a weird case. Why are they around? Because
look at all the sports teams that are being sponsored. Like, let's be serious. They all have cases, but y'all still show up to watch the games.
I will be sad for the Olympics.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And not just Olympics, but just any other sport. All the sponsors are crazy people. They do the wildest things. Anywho, so she has to volunteer, and her volunteering role is even the worst kind. It's not like you're specifically focused on one type of volunteering. They say anytime we need you, it's beck and call. That's what it's beck and call volunteering, which is the worst. That means you're gonna be cleaning up horse shit, and then from there you have to go drive these little cars and drive people around the village.
No, she made it sound fun, but I think that's just who Olivia and Arlo were. No, because outside the horse poo-poo, it sounded okay. Making goodie bags, driving a golf cart.
Girl.
You walk around, you're meeting Olympians. Like, it sounded great.
It sounds like it's fun, but that's not what you were there intended to do, right? And, you know,
yes, one thing about Olivia,
she's like Adelis in the beginning, she's a go-getter. She makes a meal out of crumbs. She said, okay, cool. I already, you know, put on LinkedIn that I have this internship, but it's a lie. But I can go back at that. So I'm going to make the most with this volunteering job and try and see if I can edge my way into getting into something before the end of the summer. And she's a very serious girl because they keep going back to a time a couple summers ago when she went to Barcelona.
When she met Tiago.
But she met this man named Tiago. Tiago's one of my favorite names. Favorite Spanish. And
you want to tell them why Tiago's your favorite name?
I just like the name. It rings for me.
I know. I like it. One of my favorite football players, his name is Tiago Silva. He plays
There is Tiago Silva. Oh, yes.
He used to play for this team.
My retired Chelsea defender. Yes.
He's not retired. He plays for Fluminense. Well,
he left to the Chelsea team. And so
he left the Premier League.
I forgot to get my jersey. Oh, God. Okay. To-do list. Anywho, she had a summer where she just let down her guardrails and she was falling in love. She thought about moving to Barcelona with Tiago, but to find out Tiago was just like every other some man. You know, just cheater, pumpkin eater. His girlfriend shows up saying, "Tiago, who is this? Who is this?
Tiago,
who is this?" He's like, "Oh, okay. He's been dating
do all of that
at the same time."
I think this girl actually said he does this every summer. Like, he's like, "Look at these tourists." Oh.
In that case, that's on you, girl.
Like, he's like, "Oh my god, free real estate. Let me park my bus." Like, literally. But
anyway, and she doesn't want to repeat that summer, that reckless summer. She wants to focus. Focus on this volunteering so she can find her way out. Her friend, on the other hand, is just like, "Girl, it's summertime. You're around Olympians. Like, you got to
do
something." She's just like, "No, I don't want to do that. Like, I have this strict, like, rigid process I want to do." But obviously, that slowly fades away when we meet the one and only
Ezequiel Moyer.
The fastest man alive.
Right. Okay. That time at the end of the book was crazy. I said, in fact, let me look up the time right now. Because he had like a 9.28. What is Usain Bolt?
Yeah, he beat his own record. Team GB beat Team Jamaica?
That was another thing. That's why I was like, this ain't real.
No, yeah. Like, they took me right out of him.
Like, they're not beating Team Jamaica. What other team also does really well? Like, all the Caribbean teams. The current world record is 5.8. You're telling me Ezequiel Moyo ran a 9.28?
No.
Sorry, Rufaro.
100-meter sprint? Took me right out of the fantasy. Right out. Just whoop, back through.
Like, okay.
I actually thought he was going to lose his last game.
You know, when he tripped, that I think we should just talk about this book as a concept, like, not break it down. I feel like we should just...
Yeah, let's just talk about it, and let's do holistic looks.
Y'all should read the book, so you know what we're talking about.
Read the book, but yes, she's volunteering, and as she's doing that, she bumps into a few people. One of them is a guy who's a swimmer for Team Japan. He gets smitten with her. He gets smitten by her instantly because he took a picture of her in front of the rings and just like, oh my god. He happens to be the best friend with Zeke, and they do long distance friendship, which is crazy. And then every Olympics they just meet up. That's so cute.
Wait, like, I don't think they're doing long distance because Haruki is British.
They don't spend time together at all.
But he's definitely not training in Japan. He's definitely training in England.
He made it sound like they were distant. Like, they're not close.
Like, I'm sure there is a distance because they do things separately, but you know.
I don't know. He made it sound like, oh my god, here it is. It's been a while. It's always texting and calling. They didn't have any flashbacks of them hanging out in a calf in Manchester. And I mean calf by calf. Okay.
The way they say it. Cafeteria?
No, a cafe. They say calf.
Who says calf?
Well, in England, they say calf.
They're so stupid. The French have given you the word. It's cafe.
You've never heard Stormzy say calf? Whoa.
No, do you know what else I hate that he says on Vossy Bop? The word, the phrase, or the name of the trophy is Ballon d'Or. Ballon d'Or, if you want to Americanize it. What the bloody hell is a Ballon d'Or?
No one says Ballon d'Or.
He says it. Go listen to Vossy Bob by Stormzy. And I was like, oh, why have you said it like this? It's a Ballon d'Or.
Like, that's like saying Les Arcos. That's the thing, the archive, when it, like the French basics tell you no, drop the vowel.
Oh, Marlo, never come back on my screen, but God bless you. But no, he says Ballon d'Or, and it really irks my soul. But so for you to say calf, like.
I've heard Storm say calf so many times on podcasts. I'm just like, does he mean, because he was talking about a very popular cafe that I guess people in, I don't know where Storm exactly is from in London. Maybe he's from Wayne South. I don't know. But like the, in that area, there's something really popular. It's from one of the songs. Oh God, my life. No. My hood. You know the song, My Hood? Okay. It's all right. Let's move on. Anyway, he has a song with this British artist. I haven't heard from her in a while, but it's called My Hood, and he says calf, and I'm just like, I think you mean cafe? Anywho, so this Japanese a swimmer is smitten with Olivia when he takes a picture of her. He doesn't get her name, doesn't know anything about her, but he happens to be best friends with Zeke. And when he meets up with Zeke at, you know, at the little village the first night, he's just like, yo, I think I'm in love. Zeke's like, okay.
He's like, you fall in love every Olympics.
And it's true. He does. You know what I mean? And one of the biggest dramatical things is that because he's so, so, so popular as an athlete, he gets all these interviews and they always ask him about his old fling, Valentina, who he used to date. Oh, actually, yeah, they used to date for like, what, 2 years or some sorts? And then they broke up.
2 years. She's from Team USA.
She's a gymnast, y'all. Okay, she's Simone Biles.
She is. Yes, I was trying to Latinize Simone Biles, but it didn't work.
But they are maybe, oh,
she's Mexican Texan.
Do I know any Mexican gymnasts? I do not know. I don't know, like maybe a Brazilian?
I only know Rebeca Andrade. That's who I know, the Brazilian.
Yeah, she did a recent magazine cover that was amazing. I forgot which magazine it was, but it was gorgeous. I said, my God. Anywho, so everyone's asking about his relationship with Valentina, and he's just like, y'all, like, stop. Like, enough of it. So, yeah, it's just this trio. I guess, like, they're best friends, these three. You know, they're doing their little practicing. This Olympic practicing is too much. You know, waking up in the gym 6 a.m. I mean, I guess it's your life, but waking up in the gym 6 a.m., your coach is screaming down your back. You know, he talks about how he feels guilty playing for Team Britain versus Team Zimbabwe, and I said, let's talk about the politics of these Africans.
Yes, because let's talk about that, but before we get to that, I just want to say, you're right, it is very hard to be, like, that is why they are Olympians, because you are literally training for 4 years for one event.
His race is the craziest one, because it's so quick. Yep. The swimming, I get, because you do so many, like, you do relays, you do singles, you do whatever. The gymnast, I get it as well, you have multiple, like, the dancing round, bars. This guy is only going to swim for 100 meters. Done.
I think about, what was his name? The guy from this summer, the American guy who was like, world champions of what? And then all the NBA players got pissed at him, but he won by like a smidgen of the 100.
I'm upset with him, but he's at the world arena though.
Because what he was saying, if I could find his name.
Oh, the guy who's married to the Saint Lucia, the
Jamaican
one. Yes,
yeah, the Jamaican relay.
Didn't he have a race with one of these Twitch kids and they beat him because he had COVID?
He ran with COVID, which is funny. But Noah Lyles, and he said, "World champions of what?" And I was like, "Yeah, you aren't world champions because you only play the sport in your country. It'd be different if, like, the best team in the NBA played the best team in Spain and the best team in Serbia." And that is why when you guys win the Olympics, we say, "Yeah, the Americans are the champions. Best. You're world champions." But then to imply your little team, you know, the Lakers or whomever, is world champions, is not. That's why in soccer, they have Champions League. The best teams from Europe come together and they play that's the best team in Europe. Then they go to the Club World Cup.
And even before you get to that stage of where they're now qualifying you for some of those, they're actually doing they're doing tournaments prior to that. They're competing with the World Cup. They're doing tournaments to be qualified to be part of the World Cup. So they're competing with the rest of the best teams from around the world. So that makes more sense. That world champion basketball.
But then Americans are very foolish.
Don't make any sense.
No shade to the Americans that are listening. Love you guys. Shade to the
Americans, because I don't blame you. I blame your educational system. I want you to point another country on the map. I think you'd struggle.
Okay. But it's just a weird use of the lingo because by using it, you're implying the world is America. And despite the fact that we've allowed all of you guys to ruin global politics, you are not the world. But anyway,
this is not a world tour.
Yes, and it's not a world tour if you only go to America, one city in Canada, three cities in Europe, and maybe you feel like going to see the Brazilians. That's not a world tour.
That is what you call a regional tour.
But what were you even saying? So yes, this thing, because that was what I was actually hinting at, is like one of the reasons he struggles with grieving his father is that he feels he's failed his father because he runs for Team GB. However, one thing I love about the Olympic sports, other than like FIFA, like soccer or football, is like with FIFA, if you play a certain amount of games by a certain age, you cannot switch sides. And because of that, it's used against a lot of players who are like British Zimbabwean or like Cameroon French. And because you know a team like France is most likely to go to a World Cup, have the funding, win a World Cup, win a Euros, you know, they will harness the talent from the immigrant children there and discourage them for competing for their parents or their home countries. Whereas in the Olympics, you can switch, which I always thought was so interesting. Like that one black Italian guy. I was like, how are you Italian? But then he had switched.
How are you Italian? What was he? Was he biracial?
Yes.
That's why you got confused.
The only black Italian I know is Mario Balotelli and the guy.
I think when you think about, okay, so sprinting is fine. It seems like it's still an expensive sport to do, but I think it's less funding compared to sports like gymnastics and even swimming. Like swimming is a very expensive sport, like the training, the coaches, the everything. And unfortunately, there are some, you know, teams or some countries, not the teams or the coaches, but there's some countries that do not want to fund their arts and sports. And that's why the French are so greedy. So greedy, because if you look at a French football team, where are the French?
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing, right? So when the white racist French people are making this argument, they're like, they are not French, sacre bleu. I'm like, low-key, Jacques, you're right. They're not French.
But,
but they live in this country. Yes. They're here because of push and pull factors. And the pushing and the pulling is done by France. They've grown here. They've created communities here. They have contributed tremendously to the sport in that country. And they should be allowed to play freely for that country. They're as much French as they are Congolese, Ivoirian, Cameroonian. You know, and it pains me, guys. You guys don't understand. It pains me when I sit down and I think about the starting 11 of a team, a Cameroon team, where every Cameroon who plays for like France, Switzerland could. Do you know we would have Mbappe in the ninth position and Tchouaméni in the middle?
But then again, it goes down to like the funding and the government. Like there's no, they just don't care. They don't now. It's crazy because when you think about talent, like I'm not gonna lie to you, if I was a corrupt dictator of one of these countries and I saw a player like Mbappe that has dual citizenship, you know what I mean? He has a father or mother that's connected to this land, I'd be like, you guys need to shape up. You don't understand. They have one of the best players in the world who shares our blood. He's my blood. He's my blood. The way I'll be calling up the MPs, ministers. I said, we have to put this team together. This is like our invitation to show the world that we are great at this sport. Because I'm pretty sure if they put all the resources together, they can give him a very good deal, him and also the other players, to be part of the team. But y'all don't care that much. So you want to throw it over to the colonizers team. Okay.
It's not even that. Like you said, it's corruption. Shout out to Corrupt Talk, who's made it make me laugh for the past week and a half. But I love seeing you
upset. Because after you laugh, how do you feel?
He said, it's not really funny, is it? It's serious.
It's not funny at all.
No, it was a little funny.
Those the postal codes for all the kids. Their kids are living on this side of the world. So we can just go, knock, knock, knock. Hello. Big fact.
But when it's not even just like lack of, that's what I'll say. It's never lack of funding. Okay, it's not lack of funding. Like it's I will always say there's a level of greed and corruption that is practiced in a lot of parts of the global South that literally is unfathomable. Like when you sit down and think about it, you're like, how can you even be this greedy? Because I'm not saying there's not corruption here in Canada. This place is corrupt as hell, okay? The politicians are corrupt as hell. They're also taking vacations with the money, okay? They're also buying their children things that they shouldn't be. Meanwhile, I have to pay $1.60 for gas for a liter. Yeah. However, you know what? The roads are somewhat drivable. The water, for most parts of the place, are somewhat clean. The lights, they stay on, you know? So, meanwhile...
You have to be partially corrupt because that's
what you have to be give us greedy with a purpose, still small.
Also, the thing is that it's crazy. If they were to like build a middle class in my country, for instance, you can steal from us. Have more of us to steal from.
People still steal, and then you don't care. But, it's the fact that, like, going back to Mbappe, and there was another guy, I think Embolo in Switzerland. Funny, in the FIFA World Cup, he scored against Switzerland, played Cameroon. The Cameroon kid scored against Cameroon. He did that thing the players do where they put their hands up. And the way they went to his dad's house in Cameroon were acting a fool. And his mama had to be like, first of all, he wanted to play for your little team. But somebody told him that he had to pay to play for this team.
You don't pay to be part of the team. You don't pay to be part of the team.
Pay for a team that forgets to pay its players, forget to pay the coaches, doesn't always have the training grounds needed. I'm leaving my nice, cushy life in Europe to come sacrifice my talents here, and I'm getting nothing in return. You're asking me to pay as well? And apparently the rumors, they asked the same thing of Kylian Mbappe, and I was just like, you see, like,
it doesn't make any sense. You're stopping them from wanting to be part of the team, a team that could do so well. Look at the names you're mentioning. You can, if you don't even like your own coaches, fine, whatever. Go get foreign coaches if you want. Like, I don't even care at this point. You know what I mean? The team members are there and they're willing to be at your service. Like, they want to play. Everyone wants to play for their country. And if you had invited them, welcomed them into their space and given that pride, they will play for your team. They will.
And we have an example of that. Look at Morocco. Morocco is a little example of that. Half of those players grew up in the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany,
France. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, and I think one of the things Peter Drury was saying as Hakimi goes up to take that penalty against Spain is he grew up in Madrid. Will he end Spain's? Like, but that was a choice. And the Moroccan Football Association made an effort to draw to those parents, to those players, to appeal to them and provided them with the things needed to succeed within that association. Some of you may learn, but no, instead, some of you will take the money, as they did in that documentary. The Kenyans took the money and only the chickens were roaming the place. But
that pisses me off till this day. I hate it. Because you go there and look and be like, these are the facilities. Like, even the World Cup people are just like, what the what the hell is this? Like, the type of corruption you guys have is not the one we know.
No, I'll never forget the Trinidadian representative who was getting arrested and left his sons in Florida and said, damn, that's crazy.
I know. I also watched I forgot the documentary. His name is called, what's the name of the documentary?
It's called FIFA something something. It's about the Sepp Blatter's regime.
Entertaining. Okay. It was so good. Every episode was unlocked. You know what I mean? But in the disgusting way, it's like, damn, these people are awful. But, you know, wow. Anywho, so he feels guilty, but, you know, at the same time, he's playing for Team GB.
I think Rufaro did an amazing job, though, of like she didn't really point, like she pointed out, yeah, like Zimbabwean team, they have a small delegation here, obviously, but they're a mighty one. They have field hockey players, you know.
I love it when,
when the teams have like sports, it's so Cool Runnings-esque. Didn't they reference Cool Runnings in this? Like she said her favorite movie was Cool Runnings.
And even like, even as Olivia, she's walking around the village talking to different people. Like she's talking about team this one, team that one. And like, oh, this guy's a, not just a swimmer. There was like a random sport. I'm just like, what the hell is that? I don't know what it is. But all the people from, they're in the same country, but you totally have different like talents. And it's just really interesting watching everyone just come together and just everyone just doing something different. I just like that. I really do like that. Sometimes when I think about the hockey team in Kenya, I just like, wow, ice hockey team in Kenya with a Quebecois coach. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just like, honestly, why not? Like there's so much talent on that continent that I'm so sorry, but Uncommon doesn't care. So when someone from somewhere who's traveling sees something and just like, oh yeah, I want to like, when I see people in Senegal or somewhere skateboarding, I actually don't know, I think it's Senegal, but somewhere else. But when I see them skateboarding on the streets, I just saw a video of these Kenyan young people skateboarding.
Oh, I saw that video.
Like, this is what I like to see. Okay. This is what I like. Anywho, you guys.
No, I get it. And it made me think like, even, I remember when I was watching the Olympics this past run, and the commentary or whomever was saying like we just mentioned Rebeca Andrade, she's the largest Brazilian gymnast to come out of the country. Like she's an amazing talent. I think after they won gold the previous Olympics, 200 like people signing up for gymnastics increased by like 200% in the country because of her and Team Brazil. But they had to fund their own trip to the 2024 Olympics, which is insane, because yes, Simone Biles and Team America are amazing, but like in this current era, the Brazilian team is just as amazing and as competitive. So I'm sitting there like, why is this team funding themselves? That is insane.
That is not a cheap sport. Like this is, again, sports are different. Gymnastics is not cheap at all. That's what a lot of parents even complain about their kids. Like, I'm gonna take this kid to gymnastics, I'm paying like $500 a week. Just
like really, like you better do those tumbles.
Just imagine her like on an Olympic level. She's throwing out thousands of dollars every single week, at least.
Yeah.
Anywho,
and I'm like, what do you mean the government won't even pay to? Anyways, we could talk about how sports in itself is a form of classism and like you know, but anyways, back to the book. These people in the book. So how Olivia and Zeke meet is like after she found out that she she didn't get the interview, they bumped into each other. He ends up spilling her green juice all over her, and they like have a back and forth. It's not pleasant. But later on, she meets him again at Arlo, who she works with, takes her to a party that I think the Australian Olympians are throwing. Because every team throws parties and Zeke happens to be there, and she convinces him to sing karaoke, and like, and that's how they keep bump, that's their meet cute, and they keep bumping into each other eventually or coincidentally throughout the whole book until they know each other enough to where they get stuck in an elevator and they're, you know, this close to each other, and then they just kiss. They kiss. And they keep
being stuck in an elevator.
I was thinking about this. I was like, would I be okay? I think I'd be panicked.
No. I would not. You would not.
What do you mean I would not? Speak for yourself. I wouldn't want to be stuck with you.
Girl, they were stuck in there for like, but you know, actually, maybe not if I knew the person, right? Because some of the games we were playing were really cute. Like, open up your phone app, your photo app, and then you click, like, say a random date, and then you go to the date where you have the picture and then explain what that day was. Love that. That is so cute. It's like saying March 7th. I go to find March 7th, and it's like, March 7th is a picture of me making ramen. You know what I mean?
I don't have your pictures will be. But anyways.
It's better than playing two strangers, that red box of two meat strangers, whatever it's called. Two strangers. First of all,
that's only if you don't know the person.
They don't really know each other, to be honest.
Yeah, and you look crazy. All of this happens in 2 weeks because the Olympics is only like 2 weeks long.
That's what I was about to say. I'm just like, what do you mean you're falling for me?
No, but I got it. I was sold. I was sold. Okay.
I thought the pacing was a little bit for me. I was like, oh my God. I thought
the pacing worked because, you know, I think the pacing worked. Again, guys, sorry, we're not going to talk about this normally. We're going to jump in, like, but do you know, I think the pacing worked and it solidified it for me at the end when she said, you know, in the future, he sees her dancing in the kitchen and like doing this and that and that. And it was like, yeah, like this is the beginning of something really cool for two people who have a lot of emotional stuff to work on, but they're feeling this really intense feeling of loving someone this deeply, and they've never done that before. And she never says, like, Rufar never writes that, like, they're in love with each other. It's just that they really, really like each other.
Well, and they're falling for each other because they do say that.
Yeah, but she says, eventually I'll love him. But, like, she ends the book with, eventually I'll love him.
But he's there.
As he should be, because who wouldn't love Olivia? Period.
True. And you know, he almost wanted to marry Valentina. So I thought to myself, this man is...
Valentina is gay.
I know, but he thought about marrying her when they were together. So I said...
Yeah, I'm sure if you're with somebody, you have those thoughts.
Ooh. At that age? Oh my God.
Oh, what Lord. Age? The age of 21? Yeah, that sounds even more plausible. Do you know how sweet you are at 21?
Wanted to get married.
Just people get married at 21 and are divorced by 27?
I really want to shut that down because So yes, I understand what you're saying, but for me, like, you know what I mean? I was just like, it was cute, but I was not fully sold. That's okay, girl. You know what I mean? We're two different sides here. That's fine.
Yeah, you guys don't want to be with me today. I get that.
I genuinely was not sold. So what you rather I do is lie to the public so I can go convince them of an opinion I don't think is true. We're not trying to be untruthful during Ramadan. That's crazy. Very crazy. Anywho, aren't you fasting too?
I think I actually lost my fast.
I
did drink a can of dry. Y'all, I'm Catholic. I gave up sodas for Lent.
Yeah.
But then I had a can of dry.
Why?
Listen, it's been a really hard month and I really
water?
Yeah. Huh?
Were they sparkling water?
Well, I also ran out of those. But
damn.
I'm back on it though, because normally some people take breaks on the Friday or whatever, and I've not taken a break. So I don't really count it as I lost. But like I really real talks though I lost, but Jesus knows my heart.
Right. I see that's how all of y'all end anyway. That's how we all say things. It's crazy. It's crazy.
No, it's not fair because I had like two periods in May in March and like my life has been really stressful as is, and like it's just not convenient for me to do Lent. Lent's not normally this early, is it? I don't know.
We do Lent. Wow. Anyway, I understand. They get stuck in the elevator, they kiss, and then he's just like, I want to take you on a date. You know, he's starting to feel things for her, and she's just like, she's trying to hold back, but it's difficult, you know, when you're in front of Mr. Moyo. This whole time, His friend, his best friend who plays, who swims for Team Japan. He doesn't know what's going on because he doesn't think that Zeke. That's what you said at the beginning. You said Zeke. I thought it was really? Funny. Yeah, you did. That's a Zeke.
I said Zeke?
Yeah.
Why did I say that?
You know, that's why I started laughing at some point. I'm like, why did you say
Ezekiel?
I know, but like Zeke sounds like, oh, here goes my Zeke.
Meanwhile, the first time you said, I was like, what kind of stupid rubbish is that? I can't believe I even accidentally said that.
I was laughing. I was like, what? So I thought you made a joke.
That's what I was no, saying. Girl.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
That's what I'm laughing. I was laughing. I was like, why is she calling him Zeke?
No, my English is flopped. That's what happened.
Anyhow. So his best friend doesn't know that he's out here canoodling with the guy, with the girl that he is in love with. But then he ends up finding out when he does, because now he likes her. So he goes to the hub where she usually has a little shift, and he's always trying to bother her and stuff. And there's one time when his bestie was there, and he could feel, because these two like to banter in front of other people, which is crazy to me. You know what I mean? I never like to make out with somebody when someone's around. I would never do that.
They never made out in front of anybody. Like, not on purpose.
I never do a little split flirtation band in front of other people when I'm there with my person. I wouldn't do it.
I can't.
Even if I was with Uber, I'd be so, so demure.
Girl, let me not expose you on this podcast. I think you're getting way too big for your boots.
I'm muting you.
You need to mute yourself because you're getting way too big for your boots. You know who you are, okay? Yeah. Anyhow. Don't let the Toronto Uber drivers talk about you.
They always give me 5 stars, let me tell you. I'm an ideal.
Yeah, but whoever booked it ain't got 5 stars anymore, let me tell you.
This is my signal for being quiet. This is my signal.
I like a banter moment. I hate acting like we don't know each other. I like it.
They know each other. They're not really like Brent. You know what? Never mind. Guilty.
You were guilty previously, so I don't understand.
In front of coworkers, so guilty. Anyway, so
coworkers, what are you doing back?
This was when I was so he was there seeing them. He's just like, this is a little weird. But he didn't think much of it.
No, fam, let's go back.
Until Team Haruki eventually is just like, I want to ask Team her Haruki. A date. And then so he asked Olivia if we can go on a date. Olivia's just like, can I have my friend show up too? He's like, oh, yeah, sure, I guess. He wanted to be one-on-one, but it didn't happen.
They're going to look like Beckham. The movie that's playing is Bend It Like Beckham because they're making their sport movie reference in the book.
Sure.
Have you ever seen Bend It Like Beckham?
No.
What? You've never seen Bend It Like Beckham?
No.
It's like the largest British sports movie to ever come out of that place.
Good.
Where that Indian girl, like Keira Knightley's in it.
Good for the English.
It is like, You would like it, shockingly. I'm thoroughly shocked you've never seen it. But I guess we could take this pause for you to tell me who you were flirting with in front of your coworkers.
I have a lot of shows on my TBR, on my TBW. So I would probably look at my list and see if it's there. It's probably on it, but I never felt like the need to go watch it. I've heard of the movie, I've never watched it before.
It's cute. It's a cute. It's a moment. I personally don't find the man that cute, but anyways.
You can actually watch this. Keira Knightley?
Yeah, she's not the main person. It's this Indian lady. Oh my god, she's been in other movies before. I can't remember her name. She does it, and then her parents think she's like a lesbian because she wants to play football.
Oh, I do know that. I've never watched it, but Keira Knightley is the coach, and she has this weird haircut.
Not a coach. I swear she's a teammate.
Oh, she has this weird haircut. It's very short.
I don't think it's weird. I feel like she had the same one in 10 Things in Love Actually. Wow. And
this man's in it. Ugh, he always scares me.
Jesus. Anyways, back to the book. So Haruki, not Team Haruki, because Haruki plays for Team Japan. Mind you, Haruki's like Michael Phelps, okay? Like, he's big. Like, Zeke is big, but Valentina and Haruki are big. And if Zeke wins this gold medal, which he does, he'll be just as big as them. So, yeah, so he invites her, and then he, like, when they're at the hub and he sees them interacting, he's like, oh, you know Olivia? But he can't put two and two together that, like, they know each other. Every time I heard her name Olivia, I just kept thinking of that One Direction song, Olivia. I know, it's crazy. But later on in the night,
One Direction.
Huh?
I never think about One Direction.
Yeah, me neither. So later on in the night, Valentina, who has won her gold medal in gymnastics, says, we got to go out. We got to celebrate. But they go out without security, and they get bombarded by paparazzi, who are already looking for photos of her and Zeke, trying to see if they're together, not together. They've not been together in a minute. And they're okay with that because, again, Valentina is gay. And Zeke knows that.
People don't know that she's gay. And even Olivia starts to feel a little type of way every time she sees them together. She's like, are they getting back together or not? Like, her own insecurities are popping up. But little does she know that my girl is gay and has a girlfriend. Go on.
So, you know, then he ends up with everybody's phone is dead or whatever, except his on 4%. So he uses that last juice to call Olivia. She invites them up to her apartment with Aditi. And Aditi has a whole platter out. I thought this book was going to end. I thought Haruki and Aditi were going to get together.
They set us up for nothing?
Like, where's Aditi's? Rufaro, where's Aditi's love story?
I like, so that was another thing okay, I'll go to the end. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just felt like, I always love the secondary characters. I feel like you guys build great backstories for the secondary characters. I'm always leaving me with, like, and it's always leaving me with, like, I want to hear more about them. I want to see more about them. Yeah. So I really thought Haruki and Aditi were gonna, you know.
Yeah.
But they, like Hana said, we didn't get anything further in terms of that story. But they go up there, and that's when they make out. And then that's when Haruki learns that his best friend has been macking on the girl that he's been talking about. I'm in love with. And can I say, I just love everybody in this book is not white, except the...
Yeah.
Except Arlo, but, like, everybody else cool. Is. Yeah, you know, he's cool. He cool or whatever.
Yeah,
but everybody else is not white. Like, we got Mexican Valentina, the two Zimbabwean British people, Haruki's Japanese, and Aditi is, I'm going to say South Asian.
Yeah, because that name could be from anywhere in South Asia. But yeah, so he gets upset, and Zeke does the most unfriendly thing, which is that when it's time to all go home, he's like, nah, I'm going to stay here and help her clean up. Go talk to your friend,
man. Go talk to your homie, man.
Like, I thought it was crazy. I thought it was crazy. You do it. Like, even like, be like, oh, yo, before you go, can I explain something to you? He just let that man go.
He said,
you could see from his face, he's just like, oh, so, like, you know, come. He's like, no, I'm just gonna stay behind and help her clean up, sir. Anyway, he wanted to stay because he wanted to be around his girl.
Yeah, and I feel like had he gone in the car, Haruki would not have stopped taking his calls, because I think Haruki just needs to talk it out.
Yeah, like, and in Kermit's story, it'll click just like that. You know what I mean? Done.
Haruki brings up, this man doesn't talk about his life. He doesn't talk about his feelings. You know.
I hate an emotionally vacant man. Like, oh, like, what in the patriarchal masculinity is going on here? I hate it. Like, it genuinely grinds my gears.
I hate it too, but it seems to be all I attract. So I don't know. We turn a new leaf 2025, but what I can say is,
anyway,
this is my moment. This is what I want to say. Okay. My favorite writers are the British ones. Can I say, like, the British, when the girls, the people who write books that are British remind me that English is indeed a language. And you either get it or you don't. Like, their pen is beautiful. Like, even if I hated this story, I was obsessed with how it was written. Like, right. Every emotion, like the one where, even the last chapters when she's writing him running and she's like one step, two step, and like he's seeing what he's seeing in his head. I loved that. Or like even like describing them together. Like it just felt like the picture was so beautifully painted. I thoroughly enjoyed the writing in this book.
I agree with you. For me, it felt like I was watching a movie.
Yes, yes.
Felt like this could be a great movie. The writing felt like almost like screenwriting to me. That's why I liked it too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was so good. That whole chapter of them being together and then being like, well, why did you stay back? And like it was just like I could see it so clearly in my head. Like I loved mm-hmm. it. I loved it a lot. And I was like, damn, like I think even the books that I didn't love as much but were British, like Sarita Domingo's If I Don't Have You, I didn't particularly love the plot, but I loved the writing. Mm-hmm. I of course love Bolu's writing, but yeah, they just remind me that English is indeed a language and it can be beautiful and eloquent and like descriptive. So with that being said,
so he spends the night over.
And then things go completely to shit. And okay, this is where it lost me though, in terms of like I think I've reached the point where I'm sick and tired of silly miscommunications. I'm sick of it.
Honestly, I almost closed the book and DNF from there.
No, because low-key I was like, you people should hurry up. First of all, we're close to the end.
Yeah.
Whatever this nonsense is, just do it. Like, what do you mean you saw him? Because I don't know, maybe because I'm a little older, or maybe because I have sense. Because I was like, you saw these two people. And the girl already told you that's her ex-man. And you already know the paparazzi follow them around. And they're looking for a shot. So why are you vexed?
My girl went up to this man and said, oh, yeah, I saw those pictures of you guys canoodling at that cafe. And she's like, yeah, I guess like it means less. This is just a summer fling for you.
Girl, what in the Gabrielle Montez are you doing?
And he's explaining to her, like, no. Like, her and I are not together. He's like, well, you know, like, I feel like... And that point, it's triggering her from last summer when she was with Tiago, thinking like, oh my God, I can't believe I let myself loose again and this man is out here playing games with me. And then she says the worst thing to him, which is like, oh, this is just me. If this is something for you, then let it be a something. He's just like, what do you mean? This is something for you? She's like, you know, whatever. I don't care. And then she takes a little cart because she's volunteering at that moment. And then he's just like, Olivia, please. And she's just like, no. She doesn't even look back. I love how the author described that scene like because you were talking about it. Like she didn't want to look back because if she looked back, she felt like she would have been like, yeah, let me just forgive this man and move on.
Oh, big fact.
Chasing her, then he stopped chasing her. And then that was like her thing to be like, oh, he doesn't care because he didn't chase me till the very end. Girl, he trains at 6 a.m.
Now, hold on. She's right though. Why don't you chase? You don't understand. It is actually disgustingly vile. Like it is actually the epitome of my life. Even if you don't like the boy, but if you don't want, like, if you even put up a fight, it feels like, oh, so you didn't care at all. Like you just want me dead, kind of like Hannah earlier. You know what I mean? So it's just like
that's at me. I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry, but go and order the book that you want. Like,
and she's still going. That's the crazy part. But
be a problem fixer.
Every day she shows attitudes of a man and it really upsets me. But what sorry. I will say.
Sorry.
You see what I mean? But like it is so irritating. We like, please chase after me. Tell me I'm being insecure. Tell me I'm being crazy right now. Tell me that you're gonna put this is something you care about. Yo, like, come on.
Man. Oh, actually, no, look at these men. Do you think there's any of this nary a man who's able to chase? They can barely walk. I don't know. And maybe for him, he thought to himself, like, oh, like maybe she doesn't want me, maybe she needs her time to like think about it, whatever. Like anything could be going on. sorry. It's not, for me personally, I don't think it's realistic. You know what I mean? It's just not.
Yeah,
what she done is going back at him like this. This is what you should have done. They love to be disrespected. Just do this. Just do this. Just do that, and he will and walk away. Now he'll start chasing you because he likes the disrespect. I don't make the rules, okay? I just observe and take notes, and that's what I've noted. She was too nice about it. He should have been rat-a-tat in his face, let him explain, and he would have explained to you, like, oh, so she's gay. Oh, my bad. Sorry, babe. Let's go eat at the canteen. I heard they have these chocolate muffins. But the
shout out to the Netherlands, the Dutch. I think he does this one. Not the canoe.
Roa.
Yeah, he's a. No, he did the one where he had to swim in the nasty ass water.
They put that boy in that dirty, yeah, microplasticky, urinated, yes, nasty poop infested La Sienne.
Yes.
That's unfortunate. How do you even clean a body of water like that?
Like, you don't. I think the French threw more poop in it after they cleaned it.
Because you can't, once water is polluted in that, it's done. There's nothing you can do to clean it. Unless the humans all die, then the biodiversity will fix it. But since we're still here,
not the COVID, the world is healing.
No, because genuinely speaking, if humans were to all disappear, give it a week.
That's what you need. You know what, though? I think we need to go refine some of those videos and see if those were recently. Because it's so crazy, because we always talk about the We Are the World video that Gal Gadot and the other weirdos did. But, like, we really were only a week inside and people started just saying anything. What do you mean the world is healing?
Yeah, it made no sense when it was the world's healing. It doesn't make any sense.
No, that's crazy.
It was a week. It was
just Some of it did make sense in the long run, like, because there were less cars on the road, there were less emissions being put out. Like,
5 years, it would try to start reversing itself. In 50 years, 50 years, Earth would be completely brand new.
Yeah.
We're just here, unfortunately, in this hell.
Instead, though, we took that time to when we were taught what we could do and decided to bring Cybertrucks. So, you know.
That's another thing. Anyway, I saw a Cybertruck the other day when I was in the Uber, and I said, this is crazy.
It always ruins my day.
It's so ugly. Like, when you look at it compared to other cars, like, why is this thing on the road?
My thing is, I swear we're in a recession. How do you guys have Cybertruck money?
Girl, I'm telling you right now, do not believe it. These people are in debt. I promise you. Like, don't think big, girl. They are in debt. People in this world love debt more than anything else. People are doing four payments for DoorDash. Like,
I saw that.
We are screwed. If you cannot afford to pay DoorDash in one sitting, then you can't afford food. You make your way to Dollar Tree. Four installments. Do you know it's a credit card? Do you know it's a credit card? A very bad credit card. At least your bank is gonna be like, hey man, this is tough for you. This class is gonna save 34% interest. That is
APR.
That's your net worth. That's your net worth. Oh my God. I can't believe this is happening. Between that and the classified information being leaked by these big people in the group chat, I don't know what's going on, man.
No, these men really committed war crimes and then went to text it, like Han and I sending memes. That's crazy.
On an app that I can download, by the way. Like, this is not like a government specific app. This is an app that you can go to the app store right now and download. It's a third party app.
They didn't even use WhatsApp. They use iMessage.
To think, come on, we bombed. I've never seen breach like that before.
It's a cruel world we live in.
Anyway, whatever. I'm just waiting for them to bomb us all, because that's what they're gonna do. They're gonna accidentally put a switch on and they're gonna kill us all. That's what I think they're gonna do.
I'm right now, I'm very afraid to go. I've never, like, I this is where my privilege is. having that blue passport with a little maple leaf on it. I've never in my life been more afraid. I'm not going to America. There's nothing there for me.
You shouldn't go there to the US at all. Actually, they told all Canadians not to even try. Not just Canadians, Germans, and I feel like it's another country as well. They said don't worry about
arresting people and detaining them. It's insane. And I keep seeing that video of that botched blonde hair lady who's like, she's literally standing behind a detainment camp with people packed in there being like, this could happen to you. Like wow. America is becoming such a, like, it is everything that it's always been, these things, but it's so blatantly being what they say Russia and Saudi Arabia and North Korea is. Those are those things, and their stupid ally in the Middle East, ally, because they're not a real country, is doing the same. Like, it's, we're actually in the worst timeline. Like,
why do I have to be in my 20s when this is happening? Like, it's okay. God is good. I know my God is good to me and to the people around me. I don't know what y'all do. So I am protected. I have a bubble. I'm protected. That's the only way I can sleep at night. I'm actually not surprised I'm back to God. I'm genuinely not surprised. This is crazy. Anywho, so he doesn't chase her, and then he starts, and then he takes this opportunity to try and apologize to his friend. And his friend is just like, well, here you are in my space. And just like, I just want to apologize, blah, blah, blah. He's just like, okay, cool. Like, I get it. But at the end of the day, it's what Odile said earlier. You don't talk about your feelings. When you call me, you never share anything. I don't know what's going on in your life. Like, we're supposed to be friends, but it's very surface level. Sounds like a male friendship, to be honest to me. And it's like, I tell you everything about myself. I talk to your mom more than I talk to you.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Can you imagine me talking to your mom all the time instead of talking to you? That's madness. And he's just like, oh my, like, I'm so sorry, and I know, like, things have just been really difficult for me since my father died, and he takes that opportunity to also decide to go to therapy and take it seriously. So everyone on this team has a,
he goes to therapy, and he for lack of a better word, he's wasting, playing in that lady's face every week telling her,
honestly, jokes. Don't show up, like, don't show up. And he has a lot of anxiety about racing because of the expectation of him to gain a gold medal. So he has anxiety, and he doesn't talk, and he's emotionally vacant. So he takes that opportunity to go and speak to his therapist and finally opened up about his father and how it made him feel and everything. And you know what happens after he walks out of that session? A light. He feels a light.
Okay. There is really and truly so much healing that is done by simply opening your mouth and speaking. Like, I don't know if you guys know.
It doesn't even have to be a therapist. I think it's just any, like, somebody who cares or knows you, who you feel like you can trust. If you tell them, what's a quote they say about if sharing problems, it's like
a problem shared is a problem half solved. That's what my mom always says.
And that's why when I see my boy Guy Took in White Lotus not telling people when he lost that gun and he went out of his way to try and find it on his own, I said, do you know you are a security guy? Do you know you have cameras up? Do you know you can tell your boss that someone stole a gun?
First of all, Guy Talk is not good at his job. So let's start there. Okay.
Never mind. And Guy Talk
does what I do, which is called what's called time fraud. Where he is literally playing on the clock. He's not doing his job. The thing in which he saved that person was purely a coinky dink. Okay. He's not good at his job. He's always chasing Gail. He's always doing the wrong thing.
He's not always chasing Gail. He's only chasing one Gail. Okay. There's only one Gail that has his eyes.
So he's chasing Gail, and he shouldn't be doing that.
To be honest, like, I don't like how. There's a conversation. I don't even know how we got to here. I'm sorry, you guys.
You brought up Guy Talk. Talking about the White Lotus.
So, yeah, we're talking about the White Lotus. But I don't like how in the beginning when those two bodyguards were flirting with her and then she just like, you know, it's nice that you have a gun now or some sort. It's like, you're pushing him. I don't like that. He's a nice boy.
She said, I like him rough.
He like,
yeah, I like the boys from the... What's that line? It is problematic. It goes into masculinity, right? Because he's a
And I don't like, and I feel like part of the problem in terms of why men they are the way they are is because some of us women don't have, they still hold on to like the patriarchy type of mentality. And that's why you see, you're wondering why men are the way they are, but why do you uphold patriarchy? Because that's what you're doing. You're holding it up. Anywho, to move on. So yes, he feels lighter now that he's talked about it with his therapist, Lisa. And now he feels like he's ready to speak to Olivia. I don't know how he finds her, but he does. And he apologizes.
They run after each other. I love when they do that.
Oh, right, because she realizes that the Valentina is gay. Because she posted.
Yeah, because Valentina posted a photo.
And she's like, oh, my bad. Anyway, so she goes, chases him. He chases her. They meet in the middle. And
then the next day his mama comes and he wins the race and he clocks in. No, I need to find the actual time because it's actually a madness.
You said it already, man.
No, I need to make sure I'm right.
He raced, and now he is officially the first fastest man in the world. But yeah.
9.29 seconds.
Not 0.29.
9.29. 9.29 seconds and 9.29. The current time that we have is 9.58. You're telling me he ran 5:30?
That's crazy.
30 milliseconds faster than the real time. Rufaro comes to the stage. We got to the top. Fast.
After all we went through, no way. Anyway, good for coaching.
That's when he decides to announce as well that he will be joining Team Zimbabwe under Coach Chikepe. And there was a moment in the book I really liked, like prior to him having the panic attack. Oh, Zeke has panic attacks. But when he sees the other players from Coach Zimbabwe and they have the way she describes, like, oh, like, sorry, but like, Rufaro, your pen. Pens across the board. She describes like this comfort he feels being on that team, like being surrounded by people who speak the same language. He speaks Shona, speaks the same language as you, eat the same food, listening to the songs that he knows that his mama would play as they're cleaning up. And I feel like, you know, I guess this is why the book resonated with me anyways, and I hate being the whole like child of an immigrant eating mangoes but not understanding. Like, I hate that BS that you guys did in the 2010s. But I will say, like, all the people who are like, and I don't fit in here, but I don't fit in there. Like, it was like biracial discourse for immigrants. But
all right.
But I understand to a certain extent as an immigrant myself, a first gen Canadian, but like there is a comfort of like listening to music that your parents listen to, eating the foods that you ate, like even if you don't speak the language, like I always feel comforted when I log on to TikTok and I hear Cameroon Pigeon. I don't know what it is. I'm like, oh, I feel at home. Like I feel one. I love the music. Like, and it just felt so nice, like the idea of being comforted by these things that like, and he says like home is not always like a place, but it's these things that create home. And of course, they remind him of his dad, and like this one song did as well. I wanted to look up the song. Let me see if I add to my playlist. The only Zimbabwean song I know is that one where he says, not to trust people so you don't face disappointment.
Stop. I don't even think it's parody. It's parody. But yes, I understand what you mean. I don't know, I think I also resonate to that idea, but you know, I also grew up on the continent, but I think being here has sort of distanced me from the changes that are happening on grounds. Every time I go back, it's just wow, like it's crazy how you can be gone for just a couple years and see the massive change in everything. And that's why sometimes when I'm online, I always try to find people from home so I can just like listen to the new slang that they have for different words. Like, I hate that. I think that's one of the things that shocks me the most. I'm just like, oh, this slang was from 2008. Y'all don't use that no more? And it's like, no, girl. I said, like, damn, what's a new one? And then they took a new variation because the new generation is coming up with something new with the language. And that's why I try and stay connected. And unfortunately, you guys, I do not speak my native language that well. Or even, like, I wish I did. But it's my lifetime goal. Before I learn these other ones, it's my lifetime goal to learn that one.
Really? Because I've seen you try and learn several others. There was the...
I haven't learned the other ones either. But Duolingo is not the greatest way to learn a language. Like, I think about how people learn languages, and it's really just you have to be on the ground. There's just no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it. If you're not on the ground, you will not learn it.
Unless you're really smart. But... yeah, I just really liked it. But I get what you mean completely. It reminds me of this these two things, but they go together. This idea that, like, sometimes even our parents who have come here and they've been here for so much time, by the time they go back to their home country, the country that they left is no longer waiting for them. It's a whole new landscape. Yes. And it reminds me, and that includes aspects of culture, language, you know, whatever. And it reminds me of what do you call it? Rami, when he decides the end of the first season that he's going to go to Egypt, and he thinks the Egyptian people his age are, like, overtly religious, but he doesn't acknowledge, like, the Americanization that's happening outside of America. And his cousin is like, I think sometimes he even says, like, he's trying to speak Arabic, and his cousin's like, dude, just speak English. Like, there's even aspects of, like, language, like you said, that changes, like, the way you speak it could be, like, very different. Your cousin, like, why are you speaking so formally? Like, just speak.
Yeah. You know? And he said, let's go to the museum. It's like, oh, no, let's go to this party instead. Let's go to whatever. Like, I don't think people realize how much American culture, a Western culture, has an influence on the continent. When I'm at home, when I'm there, I'm just like, okay, I see you guys have been watching and paying attention, because everything here, it reminds me of everything here. Like, it's crazy. But that's a very good actually, you know, I hate Rami's character, but Rami, the screenwriter, the director, the actor, I do like him. I think he opens up a big conversation about what it is. But, you know, that's the thing, that's just the natural outcome of being away from a place that your parents probably called home. And you always be a foreigner. It doesn't matter, because now even when you have to go back home, you don't fit in. You just don't.
Absolutely. You're missing
something from the ground, and they'll spot immediately. Even if you speak the language natively, they'll be like,
it's because it's a lot of things. Like, I've actually been thinking about this a lot more. Like, I clearly have too much space in my head, but about what culture is and what dictates culture, and your space within that culture, especially because I think people our age are probably the first generation of individuals who are experiencing globalization at this level. So this idea of, like, not dual citizenship, but dual nationality or ethnicity, like, what it means, like, I always think about, like, I think what it means to be American is so very different from what it means to be Canadian. I'm sure it's, being Canadian feels much more similar to being, like, being Black Canadian feels much more similar to being, like, Black British. So that's why I could relate to this book, because very much so I'm Canadian. I personally am not a nationalist. I don't believe in supporting any country. Like, even right now, when Trump is trying to tariff the hell out of this place, I'm like, damn, that's crazy. As long as you don't shoot nobody, I'm not waving a Canadian flag. Am I dumb? Like, what? But, and for me personally, I feel like so much of my Canadianness lies in my Blackness, because I feel more tied to, like, Black Canadian culture than I do, like, whatever white people be doing in other parts. I don't know, or, like, Alberta. I don't know. That's not my business. But, like, I feel like for me, it's tied to that, and, like, the Black culture that's been created in the Greater Toronto Area. That is what makes me feel Canadian. But at the same time, though, I as much as I feel Cameroonian, I don't feel Cameroonian probably in the way that is like natural and that it makes me feel Canadian. So like, for instance, language is so huge in culture, like how you can communicate with each other. Like, I think that's what plays a part. Shared experiences, like you said, of growing up in those places, things you eat. Like when I see people pull up like, oh my God, who remembers this cartoon? Like, or a Canadian heritage moment, I feel more tied to that kind of stuff. But like, there's certain aspects of like, you, because I can't remember parents, food, obviously, music to a certain extent, disciplinary actions to a certain extent, like little parts of language, but it's not the same. Like it's different. I really wish my parents had taught me my own language. I really wish they'd even encourage us to, even in
my, they teach you?
I don't know, even my rinky dinky accent to spoke pidgin. I don't know, but yeah, I feel like, but you're right. And I think at the same time, though, it's interesting, though, because if you move to a certain place and you stay long enough, you do become those things.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, so I've always thought, I was like, well, what if I just happen to move back? Like, after a good amount of years, that becomes your home. That becomes your culture to a certain extent. Like, as long as you take it naturally. Let me add that. But
naturally, humans are going to assimilate and adopt what's in front of them, and you, it's just part of our survival package. That's how we just do it. I'm pretty sure if you went back home in Cameroon and you spend, you know, a good 3 years there, yeah, you know what I mean, you'll pick the language up very quickly. You'll be speaking probably fluently.
I'm not going to the village.
You will pick up fluently, because I don't think, this is not proven, but I just don't think like Bantu's language is a hard, I don't think it's as hard as complicated as like conjugation in French, for instance. You know what I mean? That one is.
Yeah, I think the difference is
like, it's hard.
Yeah, I think the difference is, not that I think it'll be hard to learn, but I think the difference is like, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of like languages, African languages, I've noticed, they don't have gendered verbs or usage. Everything is they, like certain things are like, okay, this tradition may be gendered in this way or describing this experience is gendered, but it's not like how in French you would say the car is female,
versus,
you know, the hat is male. You know what
that's
I mean?
I think like Bantu is like, I think because it's, I just don't know, like people, because I always think to myself, people who are from, not from my country, when they go there in a year, they speak the language like fluently, because it's just, it starts to roll out your tongue because it's not hard. That's why I feel like if you were there for 3 years, you would 100% learn language. If I was to stay home and be only surrounded by people who speak, you know, my native language around me, I think I'd pick up in a year.
No, I say no, because like I hear it growing up. Then again, I understand it well enough, but like, I don't
you'd
know.
You'd have no choice.
Yeah, but be forced to speak.
You'd be forced. You would have no, because naturally, what I think is gonna happen.
Yeah, but it's different.
I think it's more like naturally when you are in an environment where you need to learn a language or a way of living in order to survive, your instinct will make you learn it. I mean, it may be conversational, it may have slang in it or some sorts. Maybe you'll not be able to write it formally, but you'll be able to move around much, much more easily and speak it fluently or conversation.
Yeah, but that's why I said, like, if it were to me, like my dialect, my native language, I would just have to spend time in the village. It wouldn't be the city. The city would be English or French.
Sure. Whatever space you're in, you were forced to speak, you had no choice but to sit there and speak, they didn't understand your English, you would have no choice. Okay. Every day you learn one word or two words. I know it's easier for younger people, the kids, to pick up languages quicker, but I think adults can do it as well. I don't know, like they keep, I don't think you should limit yourself at all with languages. People are learning languages all the time and they speak them conversationally, fluently, they can move around with it. I just don't see why it cannot happen for anybody else. As long as you have no choice but to learn it. Unless you're gonna sit there mute the whole time.
Yes.
You won't be able to.
No.
Because they're gonna send you around to go to the shops and go to the whatever and whatever, and you would have no choice. And they'll laugh at you, but eventually you pick up the language and there you go. You speak it fluently. I see a lot of people moving to my country old as fuck. Okay. They speak the same language. They're writing it now. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's why I was like, you know what? If white people are gonna move to wherever and suddenly pick up some, like, I gotta get over this shame eventually. I saw the funniest video. I saw this American lady who lived in Cameroon, but she was speaking French with a Cameroon accent. And French Cameroon accent is very distinct. It's very different from other Francophone countries. And I was like, this is such an interesting way for you to have learned French. Like the French is fine, but it's the intonation. I was like, this is...
You just pick it up. You know. You pick it up naturally. Without even realizing it. I saw how my accent changed when I came here.
Yeah.
Without even realizing it. Like, it's unfortunate that my accent changed. It really is. But that's why when I go home, I like to relax my tongue finally. I'm like, oh, thank God. It's not this question mark at the end of every sentence. It's finally proper sentences in a good tone.
Mind you, you don't even do that. So, like,
I hear it sometimes and I just don't like it. I really don't.
That's so interesting. I myself don't do it.
The fact that
I'm lying.
Like, you guys don't know, but other people know.
No, like, for sure. Like, sometimes I hear it.
You don't hear it, but
I just did it.
I hear it, and you know, honestly, it's strong.
Sometimes I do it, and I am shocking myself.
Okay, so
then I realize I do it, but no, but truly, really and truly, like, yeah, everything's so interesting. But yeah, I just really related to the, like, both characters, and just, like, again, not to be those, like, Megos on the tree at Child of Immigrants, but I thought Rufaro did a great job of illustrating that experience and how it feels.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to rating the book.
Oh, 9 out of 10. I loved it. I loved the story. I loved the writing, as I said. And I don't think I've read any, if many, sports romances.
And this is my first one, never.
Definitely not in the Olympic village. Like, this is a crazy idea to me. Like, my brain would have never been able to think of that. And I'm thoroughly impressed by that thought.
Mm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked, and normally, and I feel like, this was the only one of the few books that ended where I was like, I don't need an epilogue. I thought she painted a beautiful picture for me for what was in store for these characters without me feeling like, oh, I want more. Like, I already see what Zeke and Olivia Moyo are up to in the future. I already see him eventually. He's going to be coaching Team Zimbabwe and she's going to be like secretary of the UN or something. Like, she shouldn't become a billionaire though. Really and truly. But anyways.
She said ethical billionaire. I almost laughed. I said, girl, there's no such thing. Nobody even makes a million without exploiting. Like,
I actually really enjoyed the conversation her and Zeke had about, like, this, when you're young, like fresh in uni, you have these like very aligned morals of like what you think is right or wrong. And then life hits you and you find yourself bending. And I feel like, again, I guess because I'm in that era where I'm reading books where the characters are around my age, I feel that way so much. Because, yeah, like, Zeke works for this brand that has child labor, but he has to make it in this world. He has to get brand deals. There's no brand that's perfect out there. There really isn't. Mm-hmm. And he's not just thinking of himself. He's thinking about what this will do for other Black athletes, other African British athletes, and like providing for his family and the success that comes from all of that. So it's interesting. And Olivia is facing the same thing, and he's talking about his cousin who's constantly sending him newspapers about what the brands he works with does. But yeah, that was very interesting. These things of like wanting to succeed, wanting to have more than enough money to take care of yourself and your loved ones, but then at the same time not wanting to be like evil, you know.
Mm.
Again, I just love the whole book. I really enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. So yeah, 9 out of 10, Hannah?
I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10. But it's a good book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else to add? I feel like I've talked a lot.
No, that's all.
Okie dokie, Hana ain't got nothing else to add. Shockingly.
Nothing to add. I think we talked about the book in great detail. So
yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what our next book is. So
I do. It is No Ordinary Love by Maya Ariel. It Yay. Actually drops April 1st. So we're gonna try and read it and then record. I'm excited for this one. This one I can't remember, but it was something about it that made me really excited to read it.
I'm doing something now. Now I'm not reading anything about it. I don't want to know.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just walking into books being like, whoa, what is going on here? That's what I'm going to do now. So I don't know what that one's about. I'm just going to crack it open.
And you don't want me to tell you?
No, don't tell me.
Oh, okay. So I won't tell you guys what I'm not going to look it up. But No Ordinary Love by Maya Ariel. Yeah, and then we got a few exciting interviews coming up in April that I think will help me get out of this reading slump.
I really don't feel like reading these days. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't opened up my... So I do... Because, listen, I cannot afford to buy audiobooks or have another subscription. Enough is enough. But now what I do is all the books I want to read on my TBR, I order them all on Libby. I put holds across all of them. And every day it tells me it's now your turn. I read the one that they sent me, or I tell it to deliver it later. So now the audiobooks, girl, sometimes they say, oh yeah, 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, no problem. The next day, I guess people didn't like the book. Now it's my turn to read. But sometimes it tells me when the library orders more copies. I love the library system. Thank you. Thank you to the public library system, Toronto. Listen, you guys, if there's anything that there's no other system I love in this country, that's my favorite one.
I agree.
The public library system. That's the only one I like. That's the only one I'm willing. Honestly, if they say that every single month they're taking a couple thousand off my paycheck to go fund that library, I say, hey, man.
Thousand? How much you making, girl?
They take thousands from us in a year. How much it take for you? 500 in a year? No, they take thousands from us in a year. At least like 5,000 comes out of it.
You're right.
Because you know what is the federal taxes?
Those federal and provincial.
And then they do PPE, and then they do the EEE and the DDD, and you know what I mean? And then they start adding like little fun things. Olivia Child said, oh, you know, you know what I mean? They start adding a couple things. But anyway, if they told me that all that money that they took from me in the year is going into the public library system, I'll say, no problem. But instead, you guys are using it to buy bombs and weapons. I don't like that. My money needs to go to the library. That's why I need to write them a letter, actually. My money needs to go to the library. I want us to create an app, like J. Cole sing that song.
I was just about to say that. I was like, you know what? The smartest thing Jermaine Cole ever said is that we should have an app and that we should pick what the money goes to. But you know what's crazy? They would release an app with limited choices and it would be like military, police, guns.
And you're going to be like, damn. Healthcare, education.
You're like, no.
Because... I want to support. That's the part of the system I want to support. But everything else, I couldn't care less about those fucking guns. So this whole national security y'all talk about, like, I'm sorry. I don't care. Every day, it's our national security. Genuinely speaking, sorry. I don't really have much
care. Who cares about national security when I just bought a bag of grapes for $10?
$10? That's even
cheap. Maple syrup dollars.
Wait, girl, did you wait first?
I didn't. I need to
buy a pound. See, that's why you paid $10, because they charge you by pound. So you probably had 4 pounds of green, juicy grapes. Sometimes I'll just be like, just take that back. I say, can you just take that off? Just take it off, because $10 is the price of meat.
Listen, in a world where you can no longer get pasta for less than a dollar,
there's pasta at home. And let me tell you right now.
That is the one that vexes me the most. Like, do you remember we used to do like cheap pasta meals?
83 cents pasta?
Huh?
The 83 cents pasta?
It used to be 88 cents. Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, I went to Great Value, and now it's $1.27.
For pasta?
For pasta.
What, penne?
Yes.
How about spaghetti?
Same thing, girl.
But nobody likes spaghetti. That should be cheaper.
No, like, it's literally insane. Like, I remember pasta even being 60 cents as a kid, and, like, it's just slowly been going up, 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 and it was, like, cheap food. You could get a packet of pasta, leftover meat, whatever veggies, and that was a good meal for a family. Now you go in, it's, like, $20. Even the pasta sauce is more than a dollar something now.
I feel like when we used to go grocery shopping in university, how much did we used to spend? Like, we used to take turns, but how much would the one person spend on a grocery?
Like a little over 100.
But we're shopping for three hungry bitches. Yeah. But still, 100 for three people is, I'll say it's fine. But now I spend 100 for one person, and I'm not even buying that much. Like, I eat like I can't really afford to buy the things I want to buy anymore. That's why I've been buying frozen pizzas. Because you know what it is? Like, I'm just like, well, you're good. You don't use the Uber apps no more. But, like, for me, it's more of, like, if pizza outside is $20, but the no-frills pizza is $5 for five, I'm going to buy the frozen pizza. And I don't like frozen pizza.
Literally, like, everything is becoming a luxury. Everything. Like, everything is becoming a luxury. They used to yell at poor people for eating junk food and that, and it was poor people's food. Now you can't even get a meal. Like, I don't think deals existing. I haven't been to McDonald's whatever, but like, I doubt if I go there you can get a snack wrap anymore for like $2. You can get a snack wrap for $1 when I was in high school.
Girl, can I tell you what I did today? Don't judge me. I went to Cinnabon.
Okay.
One Cinnabon.
Okay.
This girl charged me $7, Odelia.
Like, that's insane for a singular Cinnabon?
And I didn't know it was $7. And I just like, what is this? Higher taxes? But she really put it in the box. At that point, you can't take it back. Because she's like, yeah, it's going to be $7.83. I said, I'm pretty sure I got one. She's like, yeah, it's one. It used to be $3.35 to $4. And I remember because I used to share one with my best friend in university. We sit there and take forks and knives and cut into it half. And it used to be four or three something dollars. Now it's seven for Cinnabon.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, sorry, guys. I know we should have ended the podcast. Everything is so...
Stop and talk about other things.
Yeah, so anyways, guys, we'll be back.
Bye.
Bye.